to the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Hey, we're going to be out to be the judge in this first show out of the gate, heading into yet a new week, already into the second week, full week anyway, in May. Hope you had a fabulous weekend and a great Mother's Day to boot. As always, you can do the snail mail thing and shoot us something at americatonight.net. You know the great thing about that? It doesn't cost you anything because you already pay for your internet service, right? Tomorrow, if you go to mail a letter, 44 cents, baby, unless you bought those forever stamps, you know, the kind with the Liberty Bell on it. I used to get confused because I somehow got lost in the sauce on the forever stamps. And it was probably a couple months ago. I was at the post office and the woman kept telling me, "Do you understand the forever stamps?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about, forever stamps?" And finally, oh, light bulb went off. Yeah, that's right. I buy some of these, they hold up. And then when we make the transition, I don't have to pay the extra 2 cents a stamp. So check this out. This is how bad it is at the post office. The postmaster general, a guy named John Potter, he said this, I want to say he said this probably 6 months ago, but he asked Congress to reduce mail to 5 days a week. And the reason why? Last year, the Postal Service lost $2.8 billion right now. You want to know where they are now? $2.3 billion in the hole. No joke. At this rate, they're running out of money the end of September. So if you got to mail anything, make sure you mail it before September so it gets there in time. And I don't do a lot of mailing, but when it's somebody's birthday or something, I do ship, and I use a lot of priority mail. Everyone's affected, I guarantee, even a teensy-weensy bit by that. So stamps now 44 cents. Man, I can remember when stamps were, I want to say, like 25 cents. How long ago was that? Every year jumping up here, before you know it, 50 cents, 75 cents to mail a letter. Ooh, geez, that's a killer. So anyway, the power of the internet. You're already paying for it anyway. So you can shoot us an email anytime, americatonight.net. All right, here's the great You Be the Judge, Fair or Foul, a couple of them, two of them. One is about a Michigan woman who was assaulted in her apartment. And check this out. Bless her. She was 90. She's 97 years old. Is that ridiculous? And the other one is the California wildfire. And they're still investigating this right now. But you think of the acreage that was lost. More importantly, 30 homes, poof, gone, done, destroyed. 30 down to the ground. And then there was still damage to others. Altogether, about 100 homes, whether it was completely demolished or partially ripped apart or whatever it is. You know, it's waterlogged, it's destroyed, it's ruined. I mean, pretty much, how are you saving half of these houses unless you're talking about the backyard being scorched? But unfortunately, most of the people can't say that. It was actually 13 square miles in the hills, beautiful area where it overlooks the water, that coastline in Santa Barbara. So now they're saying that what looks to have been the problem is a spark by a power tool that was used to clear the brush. And it could be a group of people or just one person, I'm not sure, but they were trying to get rid of the crap in the backyard on their property, whatever, the vegetation. And it looks like it was a private piece of land near a trail, so it was land that somebody was using. And when you use the power tool, we know how it can happen there. And then it got out of control, something got sparked, etc. So they're not sure at this point. It's still, of course, under investigation whether or not the person will be charged or persons charged with this, with a crime. Because of, think of the houses, like I said, the land, the 30,000 people evacuated, all the firefighters, almost 5,000 of them there for days, all that sort of stuff. So if it turns out that it was somebody who said, okay, I got to clear this land because they got notices in the mail to clear the land by June 1st because it could be potentially hazardous. Well, whose fault is that? If I'm the person with the power tool with my buddies and I'm clearing the area and then the fire starts, is it fair to charge me? Because this wasn't just a fire in my backyard. This wasn't a fire that jumped my property and, oops, hit a couple of my neighbors. This is a fire that blew away a ton of people and luckily didn't kill anyone or kill any animals. But it was bad. It was hot. It was dry. The winds pushed the flames all over the place starting on Tuesday. It's only 55%, well, 65% now as we speak, 65% contained, so that's the good news. So still, it's not 100%. There's an investigation, the clearing, all the things that have to happen. So you think about this. You have people that were told to clear the area. Would more, it could have been worse, there could have even been more homes. Is it, whose fault is it for this? Is it the counties for saying clear your crap up and, you know, because we want to make it safe, whatever, and whoops, somebody has a power tool, they didn't say don't use the power tools or be careful or whatever. So do they have the right to charge the people that they might be able to connect this to? I mean, that's the question. If you be the judge on that, do you think they should charge them with anything? That's dicey. Because if I got the note in the mail to do that, I'm out there doing what you want me to do, it's an accident. But see, did they call? No. Nobody called in to take claim for it. They were tracing it back to that, so that's not a good thing already. And how about this one? In Michigan, Harrison Township. They say a guy posing as a home health care worker sexually assaulted a 97-year-old woman. He went in, he opened a door wall to enter her ground-level apartment, okay? Got in, and the guy was about 50-some years old. He told the woman he was a caregiver, was there to give her a massage, and then the rest is history. Well, you be the judge on this one. I say throw him in the cell and throw away the key. I mean, first of all, that's just sick, awful. Can you imagine how scared this poor woman was? 97 years old. Ridiculous. Crazy. And then, of course, the argument that we've been talking about now for a couple of weeks, Miss California, her fate will be decided tomorrow. Here's what Donald Trump has to say about Miss California.
That's right. At 11 o'clock on Tuesday at Trump Tower, we're going to be having a major news conference, and we're going to be announcing what we're doing. Carrie will probably be there, and we'll see. I mean, I'm looking at certain things that have taken place. I'm hearing about things that have taken place. But we'll make the announcement on Tuesday at 11 o'clock at Trump Tower. Well, I like to give people the best. I hope she turns out to be, look, she's a nice young lady. I've met her. I've met her mother. I've met her family. And I'm hoping for the best. I would like to look at it in a positive way instead of a negative way.
All right, so you heard that he pushed it to Tuesday. The bottom line is, do you think Trump utters the famous words, and you know what they are? Yeah, you're fired. Does he take away the crown? Does he tell her to hit the highway? I mean, of course he wouldn't say it that way. You could tell by how he was hedging there. He's hearing a bunch of things. That means, to me, it might not go her way. If there's enough pressure on Trump, I mean, Trump does what he wants to do ultimately. But if there's enough pressure to say, listen, I mean, here's what the contract read, here's what happened, I'm sure she's a model, whatever. I don't know. I'm thinking that if Trump is smart, he won't disqualify her. Why disqualify her? I say play the game, let her stay. And it's more publicity anyway. But I'm not so sure she doesn't lose her tiara. Rather, what do you think? All right, a couple of things on the table. 800-259-5791. Kate with you on ATN.
Have you ever read the ingredients in your skin creams, personal hygiene products, vitamins, or herbal supplements? Did you know that most skin creams, body lotions, shampoos, and toothpastes contain chemical additives such as sodium lauryl sulfate, the same type of detergent used in dish soap? Did you know that many multivitamin supplements are made from synthetic vitamins? Do your herbal remedies have unwanted additives and fillers? Have you ever tested your body's pH level? Make the change to organic health and beauty products. Visit tobenatural.com and order today. tobenatural.com carries exclusive, all-natural, chemical-free skin care, hair care, whole food vitamins, herbal remedies, and alkaline body balance supplements. Visit tobenatural.com. That's TOBENatural.com 2BNatural.com. Use coupon code RADIO for 15% discount and free alkaline food chart. Call 1-888-417-1375. That's 1-888-417-1375 to order or request your free catalog.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power, a gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Chews for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to orderchews.com.
Became the fourth state to legalize same-sex marriage. Do you think every state should follow suit? Why or why not?
Well, I think it's great that Americans are able to choose one or the other. We live in a land that you can choose same-sex marriage or opposite marriage. And you know what? In my country and in my family, I think that I believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman. No offense to anybody out there, but that's how I was raised, and that's how I think that it should be between a man and a woman. Thank you.
That's what started it all. Terry Prejean, and she, of course, Miss California, came in second. She did not win the Miss USA title, but more people know her name than the North Carolina woman who won the ultimate crown. I don't even know her name, actually, and I bet most of you don't know her name either, because since April 19th, during the Miss USA pageant, after she responded to Perez Hilton's question by saying that she favored, hello, marriage to a man and a woman, and then that's when Pandora's box was ripped open and the discussion started, and then other things started to trickle out. Now it has come to this. Donald Trump will decide on Tuesday whether or not she gets to keep the crown. What he said is there are things to look at, and you heard that in the last little clip we let you hear, and said hopefully it's going to be a positive decision. But since that question was answered, so that's almost a month ago. How crazy is that? This is the most, by the way, on America Tonight, with all the things we have going on with Afghanistan and Pakistan and a short budget that's going to fall short. You know, Secretary of Defense Robert Gates is already talking about that and saying, hey, we're not putting any boots in on the ground in Pakistan, and then increasing troops in Afghanistan and everything else in between, and what's going on with the economy and unemployment and, you know, yada yada, a list a mile long. We have talked about this off and on for the past month. Just crazy. So now it does come down to this. Should she be stripped of her crown? Since that happened, The state pageant has been looking into whether this 21-year-old screwed up and violated her beauty pageant contestant contract when she made public appearances, for example, with groups opposed to same-sex marriage. That really ticked them off. Also, failing to reveal that she had posed in her underwear as a teenager, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, Donald Trump knows that these girls are models and that they do things that aren't bad, but they, if you just look at the pictures and you have no idea, it looks that way. So check this out. The co-directors of the Miss California USA pageant, which is Shanna Mokler and Keith Lewis, and Prejean's reps are apparently close to a resolution on the whole picture thing. But ultimately, it's Trump, it's his pageant. So he gets to decide, does she stay or does she go? Either way, she's made a name for herself, right? My, oh, my. Okay, something else that I was talking about, like I said, let's get back to some of the serious stuff, is this debate over what's going on in Afghanistan. And Hamid Karzai, as you heard, and you may have heard on some of the Sunday shows and conversations he had last week in Washington, too, as he was fuming when he was standing there next to the president. I said that when I first came on the air. And, of course, 130 people were killed. Now there's this controversy over white phosphorus and lighting up the area and chemically what it does to the people. And there's human rights groups that are protesting. There's all kinds of protests over the weekend in Kabul. So, you know, Karzai needs the Americans. And in one hand, he's critical about what's going on and with the loss of human life, which, of course, we apologized for. Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, said that, et cetera. But he doesn't want to tick off America too much because he needs America, and America needs to help him, frankly. Frank is listening to us in New York. You're my leadoff man. Hey, Frank, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing? Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks.
And I wanted to mention that I've been deeply concerned about the illegal use of phosphorus by the U.S. government in Afghanistan, and the United States shipping over 900 phosphorus shells to Israel to be used in the Gaza offensive of last December and January of this year. They're blatant violations of international law, and they're blatant violations of treaties the United States government has sent regarding the illegal use of that in the combat zone. So I think what has to be done, if there's going to be any kind of change or effect, is to charge the U.S. government, the officers, and the director of the Secretary of Defense concerning this. And if the U.S. government isn't going to fulfill this, which is its obligation, I think we have to send the offenders to the Hague to stand trial. And the same thing with the Israeli government.
Let me stop you here for a second, Frank. Now, you know, right, that the military in this last round here is denying using it in that in what happened in the Farah province, which is what upset Karzai with the people.
Now, they're
the
not denying that they used it. They're just saying that they didn't use it as a weapon on the people. They're saying they used it to illuminate a combat zone in poor visibility, or they're using it to create a smoke screen. So
they're denying they used it in that battle. They're denying they used it in that battle. You're right that they have used it before.
I read the Times of London today and the other papers where they talk about that. And they have UN inspectors, and they have third-party countries that have verified that this has occurred. Just like when the Israelis used it on the UN compound in Gaza in December and January, there were UN people that were affected by it, as well as that saw it on the children of the school, the UN school in that area.
Right.
So it's time to bring these criminals to trial. And if the countries of Israel won't do it, as they're saying they're not going to do it, and Netanyahu reiterated that last week, and the United States is saying basically the same thing, it's time to have the world court bring the offenders to trial and give them the harshest sentences. That will be the only way that this will be stopped, or that the laws and treaties that these countries have signed will be enforced. And that's really all I have to say about it.
Okay, Frank, I agree with you about that they shouldn't use the white powder phosphorus near the people. But again, I'm gonna tell you that for sure, the U.S. military is totally denying, no matter what they said in the London paper, no matter what other investigators are saying, what the U.S. is saying. I mean, of course, you know, hey, they're denying it doesn't mean it didn't happen, but they're saying it didn't. They're saying they didn't use it, that, yeah, you might have found some strange burns and all this other stuff, but we didn't use it. It was not at all used in that battle. So it could be interesting. This could get hairier, because it's been now a debate on this whole thing that happened in Farah, as I mentioned. They're saying, looking at some of the wounds, was this hand grenades? Was it exploding propane tanks? You know, all that sort of stuff. And so you're right that there now has been this call that you cannot use this stuff on people. And the military, in fact, this Colonel Greg Julian, who's the top dog, he's as far as the military trotting him out to be the spokesperson in Afghanistan, he said it over and over again that the U.S. did not use white phosphorus as a weapon in last week's battle, that they, of course, use it, and they're saying this, we use it to light up the night sky, we use it to illuminate the night sky, and we used it in 2004 in the Battle of Fallujah in Iraq, and Israel's military used it in January against Hamas, and you were talking about that targets in Gaza. But I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, because they are investigating the cause of the injuries and the use of white phosphorus, whether or not that was the case. So this may be something that creeps out there little by little, but as of right now, they're denying it, saying that this is, you know, this isn't what happened. So thanks for the call. 800-259-5791. And that's why, like I said, Karzai was fuming and it was calling for an end to the whole airstrike thing. And, of course, Obama's national security advisor said that they're not going to end the airstrikes. They're not going to rule that out, doing that, but they can't fight with one hand tied behind their back. But that has nothing to do with the phosphorus part, because they're not saying anything about the phosphorus part other than to say, no, we did not use it. But an Afghan doctor is saying that he treated at least 14 people with severe burns that they never saw before, and they believe it was because of that powder. And that it's true what Frank said, the use of white phosphorus to illuminate a target or create smoke, of course, is considered legitimate under international law. It is. But human rights groups, as I said, they were protesting in Kabul, etc., say in overpopulated areas, it indiscriminately, absolutely burns people and constitutes a war crime. So, you know, we got this gray area here. 800-259-5791, what say you?
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them.
there are 16 large hermetically sealed non-hybrid open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe fresh vegetables, ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Did you catch the ABC 2020 show and how record unemployment has increased the work-at-home scams? Titillating ads lure people in claiming they can make hundreds a day. You'll never hear that from our friends at IncomeAtHome45.com, and it's their integrity that's made them a work-from-home leader. IncomeAtHome45.com is accredited by the Better Business Bureau and has an A-plus rating. That's your peace of mind. They're connected to a multi-billion dollar company doing business in 70 countries for nearly 30 years. If your dream is to work from home, to stay home and raise your family, to insulate yourself from this economy, to stop living paycheck to paycheck, go to IncomeAtHome45.com right now. People are earning life-changing money from home. And IncomeAtHome45.com is adding people in record numbers. Don't miss this chance. Visit them now. They're giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. $1,000. Visit IncomeAtHome45.com. That's IncomeAtHome45.com.
Springtime. Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all natural insecticides from FreshwaterOrganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use, an FPP, to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bed bugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from FreshwaterOrganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
Go anyway. Boom, it's over. I never even had a chance to see Star Trek. We're going to tell you what kind of loot it raked in, however. I hope I do see it this week. I mentioned this before. I'm not a Trekkie, but I like J.J. Abrams, the guy who put this together, and I'm a fan of the movies. I actually like the Star Trek movies. I've seen, I think, every movie that came out with Star Trek, and this one is one of those prequels. It looks good. The two guys that are in it did a little cameo appearance on Saturday Night Live, and I happened to see it. It was pretty well done. Leonard Nimoy was also part of that deal. It was on when they do that weekend edition. They do the new spoof thing. So I heard it was a decent movie, and I think that they're going to recoup their money and more because it was pretty pricey to make that sucker. We'll tell you about that at the end of the hour. But time for some quick follow-ups, you know, the loose ends. We talked about this professor who didn't look like he was capable of killing his wife and two other guys, boom, in cold blood, dropping off his kids and then doing something like that, and then he disappeared. I'm talking about that professor, that Georgia professor. And you probably saw shots of him all over the place, right? Well, it turns out they found his body buried in the Georgia woods after 2 weeks of missing. Who thought this guy would turn up that way? I thought for sure somehow he got himself out of the country, but no. He shot his wife, two other people to death outside of a community theater, then vanished into thin air, and they've been searching all over the place for him. Guy's name was George Zinkon, 57 years old. The police are being kind of quiet about how he died, but it looked like he buried himself in dirt. There were two guns near his body, and it looked like he buried himself. So, and these woods where they found him, they said a person who doesn't know the woods, who's never been back here, is not real sure of themselves in the woods, would never, ever have found this body. So April 25th, he kills the wife, the two other guys, near the University of Georgia, and he had been this popular professor at the College of Business. There was nationwide hunts for him, bulletins all over the place, airports on high alert, all that stuff, figuring that he was going to try to get out and maybe go to Amsterdam, because apparently he taught there once in 2007, and supposedly he had a flight to Amsterdam booked before the shootings, but he never, ever showed up at the airport. Instead, they find his body 10 miles west of Athens in these thick, thick, freaky woods, where he, at one point, I guess, lived. Man, what a sad, sad deal this is. And what's so sad is, whatever happened, and however, for whatever reason, what drove him mentally to do that, to kill those three people, but to leave his family with this to deal with is, I mean, just so bloody sad. For anyone, and also the victims, because the people he shot, one was an economist from Clemson University. The other guy was an actor or something, and the theater group volunteer who was married to another professor on that campus. So, man, it's just a strange, random deal, I think, for the two guys, according to everything that I read. You know, it's like one of those things. It sounds so common to say this, but when stuff like this happens, some bizarre tragedy, you can't help but go back to it and say, wow, how did this guy who was a popular Georgia professor, how did he just in cold blood shoot his ex-wife, the two guys, just gun him down, and then take off, and then to find him buried the way he was buried? And how he must have died, it looks like suffocation, don't know. They're being really, really quiet about the specifics of that. It, of course, will come out. But he was a guy who was described as never losing his temper. He was liked by the students, all this other sort of stuff. And, again, sad thing. Two kids. So what's left for these kids? You got a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. Drops them off. Calmly leaves them with the neighbor, does that, disappears, then he's dead. So look in every state, looking everywhere, looking at the borders in Georgia, all over the place, and this is how this ends up. I mean, they even had the FBI was crawling all over this. Crawling all over it, figuring for sure he was going to get on that plane and he was going to be in Amsterdam. I mean, what makes people, I mean, what possibly, what is the motive for this guy to do what he did? What could possibly have driven him to that? I mean, they just had celebrated Easter with the kids, all that other sort of stuff. Totally out of character. Not, you know, sometimes somebody will say, wow, well, you know, he looked like he could do that. And then you start to ask questions and it turns out, oh, yeah, well, he was arrested for that, or he was suspected of this, or that woman was suspected of this, or da-da-da-da-da. But there was nothing like that at all in this guy's background. Nothing that you would ever think possibly that he would do that. And then also abandon his kids, you know, leave them without their mother and then abandon them as well. I mean, of course, you figure they had him. He would have gone on trial, been thrown in prison, whatever. But to do what he did is it's mind-boggling. And no note apparently left or any of that kind of stuff either, although I don't know how much comfort that would give to children who are now rudderless, but maybe would explain something, I guess, or maybe you could glean something from the note that what could possibly make this guy who was making a good living, had responsibilities that it seemed as though he could handle, that kind of stuff. Hey, you know, speaking of murder, and I didn't mean to get on the tangent about this because I don't want to make it like one of these depressing newscasts. You know, anywhere in America where you turn on the news the first 10 minutes, it's always this person was killed, this person was drunk and hit two people and they died. This, you know, it's always the doom and gloom stuff. But this was pretty shabby, too. I mean, shabby's not even a great word to describe it, but they're still trying to figure out what happened to this elderly couple, right? 79-year-old pastor of a church in New Orleans, in fact, in the Ninth Ward, popular, and then also his wife. What happened was the cops just got a call to respond to something at their address. They show up early in the morning, and they find the couple's door has been kicked in. They go in, and they don't seem to have any kind of a motive for what could have happened. They see the bodies. They see that they've been shot and killed. The place wasn't ransacked, and that, so again, nothing was taken. And what they believe is that they weren't the intended target for whatever this rage was, that whoever was supposed to be there wasn't there, so they were just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And here was a couple. As I said, he's a pastor, a popular pastor in the Ninth Ward, because you think of everything they've been through since Katrina. A lot of people going to him, seeking advice. He's the wise owl, that kind of thing. 77-year-old wife. They're getting ready to celebrate a big milestone, anniversary milestone, 55th wedding anniversary. And clearly here it's Mother's Day, etc. So, I mean, clearly, did they deserve this kind of an ending? And also, the other sad thing is they have a daughter who has a mental disability, and apparently she was in the home when that happened. Ugh. So enough of eyewitness news, but it goes back to what I said, how you just never know what possibly could be the mindset of somebody who does something like what they did to this couple, the pastor, goes in there. At least they left the daughter alone. Or in the situation of the Georgia professor, popular kids going through the motions, had an ex-wife, but didn't seem to be crippled in any way by that. There was no horrible stories about can't pay alimony, can't do this, can't pay child support, and nothing like that. So there has to be, you would think, there has to be more to the story, but it's that thing again, the question of what is it? There's nothing you can trace. See, I think if I were an investigator, this is where I would have a problem. You go out and you see enough of these things, and there may be somebody listening to me in the country, and you know what I'm talking about because this is what you do for a living. Cops say it all the time, or you're a detective, whatever, and you see this and you just, you know, you want the answer to the riddle, the last piece of the puzzle. Well, why? What drives someone to do that, to not seek help, to not go off in a crazy rage and harm somebody they once loved, or to snuff away innocent people who happen to be maybe where they shouldn't have been because you were going to meet somebody else. So you just decide, well, you're just going to kill these people. You're going to kill this pastor, and you're going to kill his wife. And I hope they catch that person. In that case, I hope they catch him. In the professor's case, you know, he chickened out. He did what he did, the cowardly act, and then he bailed as well. In the case of whoever got to the pastor and his wife, they still are looking for them. Coming up, shocking deal. Here we go again. Remember in L.A., the train operator who was texting and ended up killing over 30 people? It was just a terrible, terrible thing. Well, here it is a year later, and the same thing happens. Wait till I give you the description of this. Only it happened in Massachusetts. Hang with us.
Yeah. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
Yeah, get out the good book and pray and thank God that nobody was killed this time around. Unbelievable story here. I don't know if you caught this over the weekend or not. Remember that horrible deal that happened last year in Los Angeles? In fact, we were on the air and we were talking about it, and we talked to somebody in Los Angeles that had not gotten on that train but many times rode that same train. Well, the weird thing is there was so much publicity about that because, of course, the kid was that was the engineer was texting, and he killed so many people and so many other people were hurt. And the reason is because he didn't see anything because he was too busy texting, and then he crashed, of course, into another train. Well, a similar thing, it could have been a bigger disaster, happened in Boston. They call it the trolley, right? It's called the Green Line Trolley. And what happened was the Green Line Trolley slammed into a train that was stopped at the Government Center stop. And why did that happen? Because he was supposedly texting his girlfriend when the crash happened. Now, what are you thinking when you're doing this, first of all? Because what do you have to say to your girlfriend? Hey, babe, how are you? Let's catch some grub tonight. Oh, good to hear from you. I mean, what are you texting someone when you're responsible for a train that's so important that you would do that? And it's just because they're not thinking. I've seen people drive and do this same thing. I mean, it's just incredible. And it happened, of course, during the tail end of rush hour. So there were a lot of people on board the trains, and there were a few people trapped inside the cars. Luckily, nobody was killed. There were tons of people, though, that had little nicks and cuts and were carried out on those backboards and by the EMTs and the firefighters. And so there were injuries, definitely. But there was nobody that was killed in this, thank goodness. And it was a weird time because they had this nightly show that goes on in the plaza. So apparently when this accident happens, the emergency crews show up, music is blaring in this big pop circus type tent, right? And they're putting on this show, and here's all these people that are being hauled out, like, whoa, what happened here? And they were told explicitly not to do this. You could tell, obviously, the people in charge were not happy with this operator.
There is a zero tolerance policy for the use of any kind of electronic device. I can tell you that it's difficult for me to contain my outrage at hearing this.
Yeah, you could hear he was obviously upset. And here's the deal. They were told not to do it, okay? So they're going to do an investigation, obviously. They'll look at the operator's text messages, and if it's determined that that's the cause, of course he's going to get fired. And then will he face criminal charges? And here's a great question. It's like I was saying at the top of the show about, you know, fair or foul, what would you do in this situation? I'll tell you, in this situation, I think you got to charge him with something. Somebody has to learn a lesson here that you cannot be a bus driver, a train operator. You cannot be carrying human lives in a subway car and whatever and think you can just sit there and text. You can text on your break. You can text before you go to work. You can text when you go take a lunch break, when you take a few minute break, when you have a few minutes for a break, whatever. But to be doing that when you're actually engineering, operating a train, a trolley, whatever, it's just asinine is what it is. Especially knowing that one, people have been hurt before, the two, you absolutely can't do it. I mean, come on, it's not because, oh, here's the handcuffs. It's not like surfing the internet at your desk in your cube. You actually have people on board that you could kill. And the deal is, too, that a lot of people, I guess, didn't realize this, and Massachusetts got a lot of headlines because so many people were hurt, and it was the texting thing again and all that sort of stuff. But that actual trolley line crashed in Newton and killed, and this happened last May. The operator crashed in Newton, and he was killed, and several passengers were actually hospitalized and had some pretty serious injuries. And what happened there is, it was an operator that was using a cell phone right before they crashed. So the one thing they ended up saying in the end is they didn't have enough evidence to say that it contributed to the collision, but they believe that it was partially responsible for it. But, you know, again, cell phone, texting, I mean, give me a break here, please. You know, what do you have to do to get people that can do these jobs that have a brain and realize you cannot do this? Stu is listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Stu, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Kate. I don't think it's just the guys driving the trolleys, the buses, the trucks, the planes, the trains, and all that. It ought to be straight across the board whether you're driving a car or not. I mean, I just see them every day riding down the road, texting, and trying to hold with their legs and trying to steer and put their makeup on and, you know, just pick up the phone and call and say, hey, meet me here at this time. I don't understand a texting deal. I got Verizon. It cost me extra money to have texting.
Yeah, same thing with me. I wouldn't do that. I see the same thing. I mean, Dallas is a pretty big city, and I can't believe, Stu, the things I see people doing in the car, and I think this is insane. I mean, if you have to do that, there's a million places to pull off, first of all, if you had to make a call or you had to text somebody. But usually it's not that significant. How do we all survive without texting or calling or any of this stuff in the past?
I don't know. I'm the worst. I say, I don't do the texting, but, you know, I'll go, how did I make it without a cell phone 20 years ago? But I don't know. you know, I mean, it's just, I understand that, yeah, the guys on trolley and the trains are putting more people at risk, or the buses. But at the same time, idiots every day are doing driving down the road, and they're putting my families at risk, your families at risk. And it's just complete ignorance. And it's not that hard that you can't just pick up the phone, which is just bad enough, I guess they say, and hit send. And you get where I'm coming from on that.
Right, right.
And then one more question while I got you on the phone. What was it? I just missed part of it. Did you say Donald Trump's going to reside over this Miss California thing on Tuesday?
Yeah, because it's his pageant, so he's going to make the final decision on whether she stays or she loses the crown.
For Miss California.
Yeah, for Miss California.
Now who is the special guest they're supposed to have? I heard they're supposed to have, tell me they're not going to have Perez Hilton as a special guest.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not.
And where is the National Organization for Women, who are always out there saying, no, well, you can't talk to a woman this way. You can't say this about her. You can't say this. This guy has called her everything from a female dog to female body part.
I know. But, of course, they're not going to stick up for a beauty pageant contestant. And also, because of the comments that she made when he asked her that question, you know what the deal is there.
Well, it's freedom of speech. Where's the ACLU at?
I agree.
The ACLU crams everything else down our throat.
I know. No defense for her, right? I think what's going to happen, though, Stu, is I think Trump is going to let her stand, because he gets the modeling thing and these pictures that are eking out and stuff. I think he's going to let it stand, maybe, you know, move on from there. I don't think he's going to take it away from her. And then, because he'll love that anyway, because there'll still be more controversy. And,
right.
And I think she'll stay, which she should stay. I mean, it's just stupid. Now it's a witch hunt. They're just trying to get her and knock her out of there.
Yeah, he likes that controversy. You know, they had that girl from down here by us in Kentucky that she went on to be on some TV show there for a while with How to Be a Country Star or something. But the one that got all jacked up on coke and
yes. Hot
and drinking up there in New York City. And she said, I'm just this mountain girl from Kentucky. I didn't know no better. She was a trip. Thanks, Kay. Wonderful job, honey.
All right, Stu, you have a good one. Drive safely. No texting. No calling. It's easy. I mean, I get and the calling thing, hey, I know. I bet you everybody listening to me, including Stu, I'm sure he's done it once or twice, where you think you're in a deserted road or whatever and you're okay. It's, boy, all it takes is that one turn of your head, though, or somebody else come barreling down at you. And I see it. I see it every day. And usually when there, and not always, but usually when there seems to be a traffic snarl, sometimes, like even a fender bender, it has to do with somebody using a cell phone or doing the texting thing, or, you know, one of those two things usually has something to do with it. All right, time for another knock-knock joke. You ready, Matt? Matt,
sure.
Where are you? Sure. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Noah.
Noah who?
Know a good place to eat around here?